This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is 9 minutes past 11 this morning here on Power Talk. We are entering that final hour. And of course, it is a Monday. That means we're building up towards Africa Center at 11:30, where we will be looking at the introduction of a malaria vaccine and what it really means for the continent, especially for those regions that have suffered a great deal from malaria. Now, you'll know that sometimes when you travel, you are given a bit of heads up to, you know, do something, protect yourself against malaria, this and that. Now we are seeing this vaccine that is really to be rolled out, especially among children who have suffered. We will get into that conversation. But for now, let's move from Free State to the Eastern Cape, all the way to the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. And we are going to be talking to Dr. Nsekelelo Breakfast about an article that he co-authored with Professor Gavin Bradshaw. They were looking really room for a new style of politics to emerge in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. That was the title. And they find that the terrain in the metro is fluid and makes it difficult to predict the winner for the 2021 upcoming local government. The local elections will therefore probably produce further attempts at coalition building. That's their assertion. And of course, the results of the 2016 elections saw the ANC losing its majority status there as a governing party. And we started seeing various coalition arrangements taking place with some very small parties, like with one seat or two seats, being able to collapse an entire coalition government, the Patriotic Alliance being one of those parties. But let's talk to Dr. Breakfast to give us a sense of what is happening at the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. Dr. Tella, a good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Thanks, man, for having me.
Always a pleasure. Perhaps give us a sense, you know, of the temperature at the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro currently as the electioneering is underway. I have no doubt that people like yourselves and colleagues down there in Qeberha are looking quite closely as to who are the emerging players. We've also seen an entry of new players like Kusta Jack.
Yeah, so in a few well chosen words, basically our line of argument in our piece is that due to lack of majoritarianism and political fragmentation, there might be no outright winner in the metro because the terrain is fluid. You have the electorate that vote along racial lines. Historically, black voters have tended to vote for the ANC, but because there have been reports that have confirmed institutionalization of corruption, like the Kabuso report, which was released, I think, in 2011, and the Vusi Pikoli report that was released in 2012. And both reports implicated some political elites in the metro. But before that, just to give a brief background to the story. So what had happened is that after Polokwane, there is a new a group that emerged that supported former President Zuma that was anointed by the NEC of the ANC.
You call them the Stalini group in the piece.
Yes, precisely. Yes, you are on point. Yeah, yes. So that was sort of like a payback, you see, because they supported Msholozi. So the first thing that they did was to purge the old guards. And then they deployed their own mayor, who was Mr. Wiley. And then the regional chairperson was also a former mayor, Mr.
Nebafak.
Yes. And then there was a fallout between them. And because of that bad blood, Wiley was recalled and was replaced by an 83-year-old Mr. Ben Fihla
when he was redeployed from Parliament to the city.
Yes, yes. But that was a project gone wrong. So,
and then Danny Jordan came.
Precisely. So Danny Jordan was sabotaged by his own comrades because of his efforts to fight against corruption. And then the electorate that historically had been voting for the ANC decided to stay away from the polls. Mm. So that has been the situation. Now, the DA, I think they stood at 46%, if I'm not mistaken, and the ANC stood at 40%. And then that gave rise to a coalition arrangement. Mm. But, you know, there have been other coalition arrangements that have fallen apart. So the metro has not been stable. So we are arguing that because of that, it seems as if there will be no possible outright winner. And that will create a scope for another coalition.
And Dr. Breakfast, let's get into that one, because part of the issue is whether or not the ANC is able to reconsolidate its power. It seems as though you are arguing, because of the 2011 report that came out and then the Piccoli forensic report, which was in the BRT bus rapid transit system, which we saw some people being arrested, and the now late Bobani of the UDM was also implicated in that particular issue. But you seem to be arguing that the sins of the ANC when they were in office are still too fresh in some people's minds to entrust them with a majority to govern the city outright. And I mean, I remember a time ahead of the 2016 elections where friends would complain about how toilet paper is running out in public toilets in PE then, now Qebega. How would you say, you know, these sins committed while they had the majority to govern the city, the maladministration, the corruption, the poor service delivery, still looms large in the imaginations of the electorate?
Yeah, so there has been a lack of responsiveness of service delivery. Issues of shortage of water supply, insufficient electricity supply, public infrastructure that is collapsing, and so now you must remember when the DA ascended to power, it was also dislodged. I think its term of office was short-lived. Then the ANC again rose to power, but then they did not get the job done. So, the ANC has demonstrated, in my opinion, that it is not able to deliver services to the people of the metro. But on the other hand, also, the DA also has made some decisions that have backfired on them. Mm. You must remember, here in the metro, you have black townships. You also have what we call northern areas.
The colored communities.
Yes. And then you have the historically, white suburbs. Mm. So the white section of the population, they tend to vote for the DA, right?
Yes.
But then because white people constitute a tiny minority, the DA cannot bank on those votes in order to win the elections. They have to get other votes from the colored communities.
Mm.
Now, there have been other threats to the DA because there have been new colored political parties that have risen to prominence.
Yes. I mean, I hear that, Dr. Breakfast, the Patriotic Alliance, for example, is trying to make significant inroads in the northern areas. In fact, when I spoke to Gaten McKenzie here on the show, he was quite determined to say they are hoping for a resounding victory in those areas. But there are other new political players that are trying to also tailor make their message specifically for the northern areas. How important is it for anyone to make inroads in the northern areas, because they are quite a bit of a talking point in Qebega?
Look, historically, the northern areas have always tended to vote for the national parties, in the early 90s, the DP and the DA. But now things have changed. Let me explain my previous point, because the national question has not been resolved. In the sense, you know, there's a research which I did there. I can't remember when it was. And what I found was that some of the colored people are saying that, but in theory, we are defined as blacks, but in practice, we don't benefit from Employment Equity Act and broad-based black economic empowerment. So there are those historical factors there. So colored people will vote for the DA as opposed to the ANC. But now the challenge is that colored people also have been arguing awfully that no, but the DA is also using us. When they come into power, they divert resources to, you know, the so-called white suburbs. Now, it's not obvious, and this is the mistake that the DA is making.
Yes.
They think that it's obvious that the colored people will vote for the DA. That's not obvious. I think it would have made sense had the DA used a colored mayoral candidate as opposed to the black mayoral candidate that they have at the moment. I've got nothing against Mr. Banga. No. I like him. He's very charismatic. He's a talented politician. But I don't think that black people in townships, in my humble opinion, would vote for the DA. They would rather punish the ANC by staying away from the polls. You know, when I was driving in some townships, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I saw some posters of the leader of the DA, and I said to myself, this is a miscalculation. Because people might think that, you know, a poster of a DA with a face of a white person, these people, they want to bring back apartheid again. So I don't think that the DA is going to garner votes from black townships by having a black candidate. So it could have been good if they had used maybe a colored person, because let's face it, you know, people, they want to see those of their own, you know, representing them, you know, in high places. So I think by putting a colored candidate would have neutralized the colored voters.
Yeah. Okay, my guest is Dr. Nsekelelo Breakfast, talking through a piece that they have done reflecting on the state of Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, and also just the history as to how we got here and some figures that are involved. If you may have a quick question or comment for him, 0861-987-000. Of course, the focus is indeed on local government as we build towards the 1st of November 2021, where communities will be all out to try and give a mandate to their preferred candidates and political parties to lead those municipal councils in various towns and localities in the country, as we now enjoy those wall-to-wall municipalities. Perhaps, Dr. Breakfast, let's come back and deal with the question of the Democratic Alliance. They've, in this chop and change that has happened in terms of the number of mayors that we have seen there from the DA, from the UDM, and the Patriotic Alliance even attempted to strong-arm its allies to become the mayor. Of course, it didn't quite work out. But some people feeling that the Democratic Alliance itself was not strategic enough in some instances how it wanted to build these coalitions. You'll remember that Athol Trollip, when the Metro's results were starting to be clear where they were going, and there was no conversation at a national level, he was quite clear he doesn't want the EFF, he can go it alone with others because he doesn't need them, and that created a lot of rifts amongst the opposition parties from the get-go. And then, of course, eventually with Ngaba becoming mayor recently, with all the other problems that have been there in the Metro. How would you say the DA has conducted itself in the last 5 years, especially in trying to build consensus in quite a divided council?
I think it started well, but later on it made some mistakes, because they forgot that they did not win the Metro, you know, but they were ahead of other political parties. So they wanted to impose their agenda without taking on board other political players. And then the coalition arrangement fell apart. But also the ANC was strategic in terms of identifying some gaps. and they managed to reach out to other players, and that's how they dislodged the DA. So if the DA is going to be ahead of the ANC after the electoral outcomes, they need to take into account that if they have not won the metro, they cannot be arrogant and want to impose their agenda, you know, as if they have won in a way that is fair and square.
I mean, tell me a bit about Kusta Jack coming into the fray this time around. I was talking to somebody from Gqeberha this weekend, and I said, batina bantu ngo Kusta. They say, no, Kusta siyamthanda kodwa asizomvotela. I mean, there seems to be that narrative, you know, his role in the struggle, his prominence as a leader is quite well understood, but his entry into politics is not entirely well embraced by everybody.
Yeah, so he's got a strong political capital. He was very prominent in the late 80s during the consumer boycotts. But he, as far as I am concerned, he has never served in the metro as a politician, unlike other people. He has been doing businesses with the municipality and so on. So he's one of the people that broke away from the ANC after Mr. Thabo Mbeki was recalled. But I'm not sure if he has a strong link with the masses on the ground, but he might win some seats, but I don't think that he is going to pose a serious threat as a contender.
He is, of course, Abantu Integrity Movement an organization. How have you seen it, you know, popularizing itself around Gqeberha? Is it visible? Does it look like they're in the running? Because part of what people look for now is to see, are people even putting up posters or their T-shirts? Are they in communities campaigning?
No, they are not entrenched in communities. Even their posters, you hardly see them around. They are not visible. They're not visible.
Okay, Dr. Breakfast, I've got Luyanda on the line. Luyanda, good morning, bro.
Hello, Tata. I'm sorry.
I'm Vugile. I'm Temba. I'm Vugile.
I'm Vugile. Hey, Tata, I'm Pete. I'm from the Nabega Kuhu.
Okay.
And number two, ingaba abantu banayo na umzekelo phayibhayi. Abantu ingaba ubabona bebuyela uyithandi ANC nokuyethemba.
Okay. No, loud and clear, Luyanda. I mean, very quick questions. Can the DA really lead a particular metro going forward from these elections? Luyanda doesn't seem to think they will get the, at least the, let me not call it majority, but the larger share of the votes as they did in 2016. And of course, can the ANC return? I mean, Dr. Breakfast, in that piece, you also reflect on Prof. Mqebisi Nhlekana's book, who paints a very, you know, historic account of the ANC's entrenchment in that particular city. But over time, that entrenchment has been dislodged.
The Nelson Mandela Bay Metro has always been the stronghold of the ANC, where certain projects were piloted and launched. You must remember this place has produced a lot of good leaders of the ANC, like Om Gov, Om Ray, and so on. So this place is close to the hearts of many people of the ANC. So the ANC would want to bounce back. But I think corruption and lack of responsiveness to service delivery would make people not to vote for the ANC.
But Dr. Breakfast, just quickly, I mean, also one important issue that keeps being raised is the fact that over time, there has been a lot of leaders who leave the metro to go serve in the legislature or in parliament, thus taking away the familiar and trusted leaders in the metro from the ANC.
No, of course, you are on point. And also, that is the point that Pramne makes as well. He needs a book that, you know, in the early 90s, the first local government elections were held, I think, in 1995. So a lot of people, they left the city, they went to a national parliament, provincial parliament, but then they wanted to come back.
Yeah.
And that, all, yes, and then they wanted to contest the space. And that also created tensions within the ANC. So I agree with you.
I suppose going forward, what would you say are the key things, just as we wrap up Dr. Breakfast, what are the key things that we should be looking out for come 1st November 2021 in that particular Nelson Mandela Bay Metro?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, I don't think that there will be an outright winner. I think one party dominance even here is a thing of the past. So I think we are going to see a coalition arrangement. I suspect that it might be led by the DA. The DA has deployed Umama or Helen Zille. Yes, she is no stranger to controversy, but I don't think that will have a negative impact on the electoral performance of the DA.
Dr. Breakfast, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, sir.
That is an academic, of course, at the Nelson Mandela University, Dr. Nsikelelo Breakfast, senior lecturer in the Department of History and Political Studies there, joining us just to take us through what to expect in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. We have to be all over the country because I'm telling you, the entire country is shaking as we go towards these local government elections. Time for Power News headlines.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.